Okay, I'm starting to record. You should all see it in that top right corner now. So I'll give him a couple of minutes to hop in. I'm gonna grab some water and I'll be right back.
All right, thanks. Hey guys, can everyone turn on their video? I see Weldon. Everybody, great. Thank you, Abraham. Can we get everyone else to turn on their video, please?
I just turned it on.
Yep, I have 125 megabytes down here at my house, so don't worry about slowing down my network. I like seeing everybody. All right, I'm gonna grab some water real quick.
Franco, do you mind coming off mute real quick? I have a quick question for you. Francisco? Hey, Francisco.
Oh, yes.
Do you have your camera on?
Yes.
Okay, appreciate it. Helen? Hey, Helen. Ellen. Ellen?
All right, I'm back.
Tavon's is not working correctly.
What about yours?
Stop me.
Dave, we'll yes. Go ahead and pass it to you. We're ready to go.
Perfect. All right. Just get my little document up here. Okay, and I'm gonna screen share too.
Boy.
Was that coming from me? The feedback?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, so let's try this out. Which monitor? Okay. So it should present this monitor. Cool. Let me know when that monitor is running up there.
My video isn't working.
Uh-oh.
Turn your mute on.
I was trying to tell you, man.
Okay.
Okay, it's up. Cool.
Yeah, you're good.
Let's look at some things here. So, yesterday we went over music, sound effects, right? How to find them, how to create things with Audacity. Today we're going to be covering art and different kinds of art. So, first thing I want to point you towards is Photoshop. How many of you have used Photoshop before?
I have.
A few? Maybe Paint.net. Have you seen that? Okay.
Ooh.
So Paint.net, a lot of people end up using that because it is free. It's very easy to use. No, it's Paint. I think it gave me the wrong link. So here we go. Oh, getpaint.net. That's what it was. So here's one application. We can use either one, but I'm probably going to point it towards Photoshop today. Paint.net is completely free. Works really well. I'm just used to using Photoshop, so I end up using that most of the time. But either one works equally as well. Also, another alternative is Photoshop can be a bit pricey, right? So there's Photoshop, CS2. There we go. It's a link to Photoshop CS2. So what happened here is Photoshop has been around for about 15 years, maybe 20 years at this point. And their older version, CS2, they have licensing servers for, right? So when you load up the app, it's going to try to ping a server that Adobe owns and say, hey, does this person have a license? What happened is Adobe recently got rid of that licensing server and said, you know what? We don't care. Anyone can use Photoshop CS2. So we're up to CS5 or 6 right now. CS is short for Creative Suite. And essentially, what that does is give you most of the features of Photoshop, right? There's some that are way more advanced that a lot of the higher-end artists in the games industry use. But for the most part, I've been using CS2 for years, and it works perfectly fine for 99% of the things that I need. So if you want, we can go ahead and download this now. So at the bottom, okay, visit this link. I'm going to shrink my browser just a little bit here. I'm going to come down from the top. I can't see the top here because it says I was presenting thing in the way. There we go. So what you can go ahead and do is, of course, it snaps to the bottom. You can download Photoshop CS2, so I suggest doing that right now. You can go here, download Photoshop, and get that installed. So I'll show you what it looks like. It's going to take you a few moments to get that going. And all the instructions are there on how to do it. So just kind of do that in the background while we're moving along here. But I'll show you what Photoshop actually looks like. So it's going to pop up with this every time you go to use it because it has not pinged that server, right? Adobe doesn't have that server anymore. So every time I open it up, I just say, do not register. No, you should not have to make an account. There you go. So it says, right, I could not connect to Adobe. That's fine. So right here, my blank Adobe. And my options, because it's loaded up my other screen, my tools appeared in my other screen. There's one set of tools. I have multiple monitors, so that's why it looks a little bit different for me to be playing with Adobe. Oops. I'm just trying to grab all the things and bring them over. There's another one. And I'll show you what all these things do in just a moment. Okay, here we go. So, on the left-hand side here, we have all the tools that I end up using most of the time. So we have a little rectangular marquee tool. I can click on this, and I can highlight different objects. Actually, what I should do is create a new image first. First thing I want to do is File, New, and it's going to ask me to create a new image. Someone's asked a question. Yeah, you should not need to create an Adobe account. Oops. Okay, so, of course I'm zoomed in too much. Yeah, you should just go to English, Creative Suite, and look for the one that fits best for you. So we're using Windows, and here we go, Creative Suite. That should be perfect for you. Actually, sorry. I apologize. That's the entire suite. We want to go down to Photoshop CS2. So we're using Photoshop. Of course, the screen went crazy on me. So English, Photoshop, and download the Windows version. I don't know. Let me see this again. I'll try downloading it. Where is it asking you to create an account?
Once we visit the link, it says we have to create an account or sign in.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, you know what I realized? I'm automatically always signed in. Okay, so you may have to create an account in that instance. It takes maybe 30 seconds. But if you do anything creative in the future, it's well worth using Adobe products. So it's worth that 30 seconds to sign up. So quickly create an account, and then you can go here to this Photoshop. So first thing I'm going to do here is create a new file. So I'll just leave it untitled. There are a number of presets here, and they really just include different sizes and formats. Obviously the width, the height, don't worry about resolution for right now. The really important part though is background contents. So I can have a white background, I can set it to a specific color, but often what I want to do is I just want to have something that's transparent. So I hit transparent, okay, and I'll explain why. So now, you see here's my new image. And it looks like we have a lot of dots back here, right? It's like a checkerboard. So the checkerboard is like gray and white. So what that's telling me is that it's transparent. So I can put an image on top of this, and anything behind it is going to be transparent. So let me see if I can find an example of an image that uses this. Nope. Ask PNG. Okay, so let's see what this looks like. So that's not a good example because it doesn't actually have a transparent. Perfect, this is what I'm looking for. So you can see right here in this Xbox image, we have our Xbox, and then behind it, that whole background is transparent. So what that means is I can grab that image and I can drop it onto something. I don't have to worry about maybe an all white background or all black or colored background being here. So this way I can just take an image and drop it onto something else. Otherwise, what I would have to do is take an image and then actually cut out the outlines of the entire thing and place that into the new thing I'm trying to create. So it can become a bit of a project. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to View Image, right-click. I'm just going to save this for now. And I can see Xbox One Large, and it's saved as a PNG. So a PNG is going to be a slightly larger file size, but what it means is I can also have transparency. Okay. If I use something like a JPEG, you see .jpg, but that means it's going to be more compressed, so a smaller file size, but it will not have transparency. So for right now, I'm going to save this to my desktop. Xbox One Large. Now, let's go over here to Photoshop. I'm going to drag this image and drop it right into there. So see, I brought them to Photoshop, and you can see everything is already outlined or already transparent for me, right? I can grab this Xbox, and I can even start to wiggle it around. And the background stays exactly where it is because there's nothing back there. So let's move this a bit. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new layer behind this. That's the way that Photoshop works. It builds everything on layers. So this way, at any point, if I realize, oh, you know what, maybe I made a mistake and I didn't want that color or that image there anymore, I can just remove that layer. So on the side here, right, it says layers. I can go down, and there's a button for new layers. Here we go. I hit this button right here, create new layer, and see, here it is up top. You can also name your layers. So layer 0, I'll double click and I'll call it Xbox. Maybe layer 1, I will call background. I can even turn these things on and off. So I can hit this little eyeball here and watch what happens to the Xbox. Goes away. And you also notice there's this background is highlighted blue. That means that's the layer that I'm currently using or drawing to. So what I can do is I can take a pen, zoom out. I can take something like this pen tool up here, or paintbrush, click on purple. Whoops. It gives me a color picker. Right, so I can just drag and change the colors that I want to use. And over here on the right-hand side, you can see here's the color that I previously had. Here's the new one that I have. Change. And you notice there's quite a few things changing here. There's RGB. That's probably the one we want to concern ourselves with. That's red, green, and blue. So how much red is in this, how much green, and how much blue? So maybe I'll turn this RGB down to 0. And you see the color starts to change. Maybe I want to turn down the green, and I'll only have blue in there. It's changed to 0. And now look at how different this looks. This is almost a pure blue color. But even this value, I can turn it up. So let's go see what happens at 200. Maybe 260, or 256 is the max. So now I can see this is pure blue. If I want to take this blue, hit 0, now I have black, right? Black is the absence of color. Maybe I would take this 0 that's in G, and I turn it to 255. Now my color is pure green. So you can either use this and play around with it, or if you look online, you find out what the RGB is for a color that you like. You can type those numbers in, and you're good to go. So this particular case, I will take a light green, hit OK, and now my paintbrush is light green. Oops, I hit something. Okay, here we go. So I'm just going to start painting. Okay. And now I can go back to this Xbox. I'm going to turn it back on. And you see, my Xbox looks like it was kind of painted all over. But it's not damaged, right? So at any point, if I don't want that green, I can hit this little eyeball here, deactivates the green, but it's still actually going to be there in the end. So if I wanted to delete it altogether, I can click on this blue layer, hit delete, and it's going to actually delete that whole layer for me. If I want to change the order that they're drawn on, I can just click here and drag and drop. And now see my Xbox on the layers here is actually on top of this background. Not bad, right? That's how you can create some really, really detailed images by really stacking and layering things on top of each other. When you see people working in Photoshop, they're not working on one single layer, right? Because if I messed up that layer, I'm in trouble. So instead what they'll do is they'll add dozens and dozens of layers, and the file gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So when you're done, you can save this a couple of different ways. I can go to File, Save As, and this little thing is going to pop up. And I can save it as a PSD, that means a Photoshop document. And that means that I can open this up in Photoshop again. And when I do, all of my information will be saved exactly as it is. So I can still edit the layers, I can make changes to it. But a PSD will not display in something like Word or a web browser. In that case, I would need to save it as another format. It looks like there's a lot here, but I really only go back and forth between two or three of them. A JPEG, .jpg, again, is a compressed format. That's pretty often what you see online if you have to save a lot of space. So if you do not need transparency, I often tell people to use a JPEG. But if I need something that has a transparent background, I'll say use a PNG. And that's it. So that's what we have for Photoshop. But we can play around with this a little bit more. On the left-hand side here, you can see I also have other multiple tools. I can select things. So I click this little selection tool. And now I can highlight something. And I do Control X. And I just took out that chunk. Yeah, for the serial number, what you're going to do is, I'm waiting for my Chrome to pop up again. For the serial number, that is on the previous page, I believe. Oh, here it is. So right where you downloaded Photoshop CS2, whoops, English, Photoshop, the serial number is right here. Right, they give you the serial number. All right, Adobe makes it nice and easy on you. I like it. What else can we do with Photoshop? Let me open this up. So I cut out that big block of my Xbox, and now I can do Control N to create a new image, and I can just drop that chunk right in there. And there's that chunk. Let's get rid of that. Control Z should let me bring it back. Nope. It doesn't want to keep going back. Oh well. Edit. Step back. Step backward. Here we go. So sometimes Control Z kind of gets wonky. So I'll have to hit Edit, Step Backwards. And that is Control-Alt-Z. And there we go. Now our Xbox is back in place. All kinds of other things I can do. I can just cut out smaller specific parts. So say I want to crop this photo. Right? So that's this tool does. Oops. That's what this tool does right up here. Yeah, this thing does not want to play nice today. I'm trying to use the magnifier tool. Yeah, Photoshop and the magnifier tool do not play well together. So I'm trying to use this tool right here. Okay. So I'll send you the CD key right now. So the key is... That is the serial key you can use for Photoshop. So going back into Photoshop. There's our Xbox image. Let's try to get this back. There we go. It kind of tucked away down here. What else I can do is I can grab this, and I can start to crop down my image. So I can grab this again. And you see, it's kind of darkening everything that's around the edges that I do not want. So I hit Enter, and now everything on the outside of that is gone. So if I use this tool, everything on the outside is gone. If I use the other selection tool, everything on the inside I can control. So let's go back one more time. There we go. What else do I have? I can add fonts. So I click on this button right here. Oops. And you can see... Now I have the ability to add font. So let me drag this, say Xbox, kind of hard to see. So I can highlight that, and I can change all of my font options up here. So maybe instead of green, I will make it a darker font. Still kind of small, so let's change this from 36 point to maybe 60. Okay, I can change the font style. I like Calibri, so let's install here. Perfect. So I have font that I can move. And you notice this font is also on a separate layer, right? I can click on the eye, and it makes that font go away. What else do we have? We have a little eraser here. So I click this eraser, and I can start to erase things. So let's see. Right, I'm starting to erase the X on the Xbox. But I can go down a little more, and you see I'm still clicking the eraser, but the background is not changing, the Xbox isn't changing. Right? Anyone know why? It's because it's on a different layer. So right now, again, I'm only working on this blue layer right here, Xbox text. But if I click on the Xbox image, and now I go back to the eraser, I can start to erase parts of the Xbox. Not bad, right? Control Z, and my Xbox is returned to normal. Also, for a number of these controls on the left-hand side, I can hold down left-click, and it gives me options. Eraser tool, background eraser, magic eraser. I don't know what my Photoshop is doing right now. I also have this. So this button right here will give me gradients, so I can paint an entire background, or I can hold down left-click, click on Paint Bucket, and now I have an entire paint bucket to paint the background. So I'm going to go down here, create a new image again, or a new layer, I should say. So go down, create a new layer, and I will call this paint. I'm working on a new painted layer, and what that I'm going to do is I have my paint bucket. I'm going to change the color to maybe, what about this, something like orange. So I have a paint bucket that's orange. I can click paint, and now the entire background is orange. But I want to change this background again. So over here on layers, let's drag this down. And here we go. Now my text, the green stuff I was just drawing around on, and the Xbox itself, and then I have my layer of paint on the bottom. Last thing I want to show you inside of here is on Xbox. Actually, you know what? I'm going to create a small object. I'm going to go over here to the shapes tool. I click on shapes, and it gives me some options. I have rectangle, rounded rectangle, polygon. I'm going to do rounded rectangle. I'm going to create a new layer. And I'm going to draw it right here. So I want to change the color of this, though. So I click on my magnifier tool. So now I have a rectangle. I'm actually going to click on the color inside this rectangle. It gives my color picker again. Let's change it to, there we go. A light blue. Okay. That's a cool shape, but I want to add more to it. So this little button here, right, it shows me exactly where the rectangle is laid out on the screen. You can see it's towards the top right corner. If I double click on it, I hit the wrong button, sorry. If I double click on it, I have all of this, the layer styles. So I'm going to scoot over just a little bit. And you see I have all kinds of other options. I have things like opacity. So is this thing transparent? Can I see through it? I have different kind of blending modes. There's a lot here. There's dissolve, multiply, burn. I don't know what most of these are, so I would say just tinker with them and see what works for you. See, I can do multiply. What that's doing, it's taking the background color and it's blending it with the orange and blending it with that blue that I have, and it's producing this green-like color. I'm going to leave that normal for now. But I also have things like drop shadow. So I'm going to hit drop shadow. And look, it added a shadow to the bottom left corner of this. I can also change this by twirling this little thing. So I twirl it, let go, and now look, the shadow moved to the top right corner. Hit the top, and there we go. It's as though the sun is coming from up top, or the light source is coming from up top, and that's why we have a shadow down here. Pretty neat. But let's make a few more changes. So right here in distance, I can pull this out, and you see the shadow is actually going further and further away. I can change the spread, and it's actually increasing the size of the thing altogether. And then finally, I can change the size as well. So a few small things I have here. Opacity, again. Now my shadow doesn't look nearly as dark as it used to. Let's get rid of shadow. I'll go to inner shadow. Now it kind of looks like I have rounded corners, right, or edges inside of my button. Right? It looks like it's kind of popping off the screen as though it's a button on like an iPhone or something. So I can hit inner shadow, and same thing. I can change where this light source is coming from, but also the distance. I don't know what choke does here. I'm just not sure, and also the size. Outer glow does the opposite of shadow, right? So now I have like a yellow glow over here. But this yellow is kind of hard to see, so let's change this to something like green. See a slight glow on the edges. Change the spread. That's getting bigger, 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 bigger. Size. So that's my glow. I can change things like noise. So that's how many little dots are inside of there. Opacity. Is it transparent or not transparent? Just some things to play with. And the last couple here I want to tinker with is things like stroke. I hit stroke, and now I just have a solid outline around something. Right? Maybe I have some kind of font or text that I want to highlight. Well, I can hit stroke, and a stroke is just a pen stroke around an object. And then I can change the color. Maybe I want to have a dark outline. There we go. And again, I can do it inside, outside, the center of the object, change how big it is. So all kinds of little tweaks that you can make inside of the layer style. So do you all have Photoshop up and running right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I want you to do is grab an image, find it from somewhere. We can go to Google, and often what I'll just do is I will show you. So I'll go to google.com. And let's look for something you like. So I'll say Xbox, over images. And they have a bunch here, but also what this allows me to do is I can sort by different kinds of images. So I can click on search settings, or actually, sorry, more. Now where do they do that? They change it? Here we go, so I'm looking for, sorry. Search tools, so images, search tools, and you can see I can look for size, color. I'm consistently using color, and I'm looking for transparent. This way, I know that all these images are going to be PNGs, and I can then take them and drop them into Photoshop and not have to worry about cropping out the background. That's what it's called, is cropping when you go to outline something. So grab an image or two, download it, and drag it into Photoshop. And start to manipulate it for a few minutes. I want you to get a feel for how to create layers, how to paint on top of things, how to use the eraser tool. I'm going to grab some water, and I'll be right back to answer some of your questions. All right, let's get this show on the road. So you've had a few minutes to play around with Photoshop? Yes? Perfect. Okay, so what I want to show you now is we have one tool to start making art, but what if we aren't great artists? I'm not a fantastic artist, so I end up having to get a lot of my art from other resources. So I use something like OpenGameArt to do exactly that. Link is in the chat. What OpenGameArt does is allows you to find free and open art that is available for you to use. So look at things like ground tiles. Not super interesting, but here are little chunks of tiles that you can chop out, just how I showed you in Photoshop. Chop out and then place inside of your game. Even better, we can start to piece some of these together. So if I was going to take this set of ground tiles, what I'd likely do is break them up into smaller rectangles, make them individual pieces, and then I can use those pieces inside of my game and create different kinds of environments. So here, it kind of looks like the person has maybe a desert background on this half of it, or this part of it, and then maybe I go over a little further, and now it kind of looks like a snowy environment. So maybe I'll take something like this and break up into smaller chunks too, right? I can have an entire square right here, and I can break them into smaller pieces. So this one tile right here, I break up into 1, 2, 3, 4. I probably have 5 chunks out of this. And I'll combine this piece up here, maybe this one, and this one, and you now have a set of very, very diverse tiles that you can use inside of your game. Let's look a little bit more. Let's look at GUI. So GUI is a graphical user interface. There's different parts that you can use inside of your game. So here we go. This guy created a very nice GUI that we can use inside of some sort of wizard-like game. So maybe here's my inventory selection right here at the bottom. It's actually the inventory that my character is currently wearing. And at the bottom, maybe you have a battle screen right here, right? So I could have what my character is currently equipped with or the spell or item they're currently using, the character right above. So you can feel free to grab out any of these chunks of art and use them into your own game. Let's come back. And, okay, how about this, voxels. So we're all very familiar with Minecraft, right? I hope so.
Yes.
So here's an example of squares, and these squares, or voxels, we've got to paint. And painting a 3D model is called texturing. So you're going to take these textures and apply it to a 3D model, and here we go. All this really looks like is maybe a green square with some transparent holes through it, right? And I showed you how to do transparency before. So in this case, the user probably has a all green square background, and maybe on that background, they're just painting a small number of holes in there, or not painting, I should say, using the eraser tool that I showed you and erasing small holes here and there, and now it's how you have the effect of trees. So let's see what this looks like when it's flat. I don't want to go there just yet. So in a 2D environment, here's what it might look like. Like Terraria. Very neat, right? And if I wanted to take it in 3D, what I'd actually do is unfold the 3D object that I made and paint that. So let's see what this actually looks like. Here we go. Here is what those tiles actually look like. So if I drag and drop them all in Photoshop together, I plot them in, and this is exactly what it would look like. Remember I said before he probably painted, had a green background and used the eraser tool to make some holes in there? Well, that's exactly what they did here. So when you're playing a game like Minecraft, this is actually what you're looking at, a 3D model that has these very, very simple 2D paintings on top of it. Not bad, right? So I want you to take a few minutes, Yep, yes, you can download them. Each one will have like a separate license for it. So for example, you see here on the left-hand side, it says public domain. You can click on that license and it'll tell you what it means. No copyright. They've dedicated this work to the public domain by waiving all of his or her rights to the worldwide user. You can copy, modify, distribute, and perform the work, even for commercial purposes. That means that you can sell a product that uses this without asking permission. So that's up to you. You can take this, and it is perfectly clear for you to take and use inside of your own titles. Not bad, right? So that means the person has no copyright. Often, you'll see people do this with code, too, and they'll say, I've open-sourced my code. Now, you've always got to look at the license because there are several different licenses, but often what it means is that someone said, hey, I want this to be for the greater good, right? So I'll often open-source all of my code. I'll show you. GitHub.com/DaveRoyals. You've been to GitHub before, I hope. Yes? So you can see at GitHub, this is where I store a lot of my code. I will open source everything that Microsoft legally allows me to. So all the small projects that I work on, I open source. So you can see here some of them. I made famous Angular Pokemon. So I made a Pokemon app inside the browser. I made, let's see. You can see it working inside the browser right here. In just a moment. Any Pokemon fans out there? It's all right, we don't have to hide. Yeah. So here we go, Bulbasaur. I can say, give me another Pokemon. Nidoqueen. There we go. More info, and boom. Gives me, right, the poison type, how many hit points, the name, the abilities. It's made to work on a mobile device, so that's why it looks really stretched. But all of this code, if we go back, you'll see, and not only do I give a tutorial on how to do all of this, that's how it should look on a website or a mobile device. But the code itself, if I go into app, I open sourced all of it. So I made it available for anybody to use. So you'll often see people open source their art, and they'll open source their code. And again, they do that to often assist others, right? I learned a lot of programming and art from other people who have open sourced their work. So I felt the least that I could do to help out others is to also make a lot of my work available for people to learn from also, right? It's like a good cycle. People have helped me, and I want to pass it on to others. So coming back, we can see here is this art. Maybe what you want to do, developers will often say, hey, I'm going to make a bunch of art here, and I'll open source it. But I also have a game asset. So here this nice gentleman, Kenny, has made all of this art very, very nice, and he continues to add to it every month. Great developer here. They'll create all this art and say, hey, if you donate, and what was it, $9, you'll get 140 3D models and 1,700 assets, right? So let me see if I tweet this out. Say, great assets by Kenny. Say 1,700 textures and... There we go. Very nice, and do that person a favor. So what people often do is give parts of it away for free and say, hey, if you want the whole thing, please consider donating for my work. And that's exactly what's going on here. So play around in OpenGameArt for a little bit. And you can even leave comments too. I'll frequently go in here and say, you know, fantastic job. Thank you for helping out. We can explore. So we can look at popular this month, maybe a cute dungeon. How do you add an image to a layer? Okay, so in Photoshop, I have it open. I have a layer here, right? What I want to do is I can often open up the image from another file. Yep, so you do file, then open. And I'm not sure if that'll drop it right into here. Let's find out. Or if it creates a new one, I do not know. Yeah, I don't know, file, open. Ah, there we go. So do new layer, file, open, and I'll click on what I have. I had an arrow before. Okay, so even if I created a new layer, it still will take this image or creates a new one for me. So what I will do is, now that I have this image, I will grab this selection tool. I'll grab the whole thing. Control C to copy. And let me find my Xbox thing again. Where did I put that? I don't know where my Xbox thing went. Now I have to find it. I got buried behind the layers of all this stuff that I have. Okay, so let me try to close this out. Oh, here we go. So the Xbox thing is still there. So I've copied that, and now I've copied it. I can do Control V to paste. So I don't know why my Xbox thing was hidden, but I went to this image earlier. Where is it? Yep, so I grabbed this arrow image before, I copied it, and I just pasted it in there. So Photoshop will have several windows open at each time, I should say. Yes, here we go. I have like one that's Xbox.large. Let's go open another. File, open. And let's go look for just the Xbox. Oh, it thinks it's the same image. That's why. So that's how you open additional images in there. So go to Open Game Art. And you can have a blast playing with some of these. So looking up here, again, here's how this world will look when it's finished. Right? Somebody spent a lot of time creating this beautiful art. But all this is really a bunch of small pieces they put together. Let's see what the small pieces look like. Here we go. In Photoshop, this is what those small pieces actually look like. Not how much time we have. Okay. So maybe I'll go here. I'll go download sheet.png. Here it is. Right click, save image as, and I'll say sheet 14. Perfect. I'm going to show you another cool tool that you're really going to like. Use it elsewhere. What do you mean elsewhere? Like, give me an example. While you're doing that, I'm going to give you a link to another tool. It's called Shoebox. Like, put it in your profile. And like, if you're using Facebook or something, when you're done with that image, you go to File, Save. Oops. And go to File, Save As. You save it as whatever type you want. So I'd say probably a JPEG or a PNG. If you want transparency, use PNG. If you do not need transparency, use JPEG. So I'd save it as JPEG. And once you save it, you know, I'd save it to my desktop, make it easy to find. You can use that image like you would any other image, right? Same way you'd put an image on your Facebook profile, you're going to do the same thing here. That's it. So I gave you a link for Shoebox. I want you to download that. Shoebox is a fantastic little tool that has a number of helpful resources in here. It can do things like pack sprites. And what that means is the sprite is an image or a texture that you can use inside of a game tool like Unity and have a blast with. It also has things like Texture Ripper. So what Texture Ripper can do is it can look at something like an image that you have. Like in this example, they're looking at a picture of a building in a city. It can cut out parts of that building, make it flat, And now I can copy and paste that texture inside of my game or use it in Photoshop. Not bad, right? So if I want something that's not the entire image, I can still do that. Pretty cool. Okay. Read sprites, frame sheet. Let's go into this real quick. So how many of you have seen something like Street Fighter before? Or really, actually, any 2D game that has an animation. So what this will do is this tool will take a bunch of images that you have, right? An animation of a character running or jumping or attacking. It'll take all of them, cut them out, and lay them side by side, just like what it's doing here. So what it'll do is it'll grab those images, put them in a row, and then you can start to loop through them inside of your game. Let's go back to something a little more useful. It can slice images or extract tiles. So something like this. How long is this video? 2 minutes. So watch this with me. Go to this video. We're going to watch this. It's going to show you how to actually take tiles from an image. So for example, say I want really neat looking background that I find on Open Game Art, but I don't want to sit there and have to draw a rectangle and cut it out for each one. Well, this tool will do that for you. So click on that link to the video and we'll watch it together. So I'll give you a minute to get ready. Okay, I'll start in 3, 2, 1. Now, what this is going to do right, so Mega Man, maybe I want some of those backgrounds. What it'll do is it'll grab that image, drop it into the tool, and that tool is basically just a big grid, right? So now what it's going to do is chop up all the images, all of those, in a little grid and create a tile map. And a tile map is what allows you to take small bits of that tile and use it inside of your game. Now he's just painting there. That's what he's doing. He clicked on an image, and he's just dragging it around. And now, see how quickly he can create an entire map by just copying different parts? And adjusting how big or small each one of those grids is going to be. And this is an application called Tiled, T-I-L-E-D, which allows you to create tiled objects. 3D, very different world. I'm going to jump into that right now. Okay, so 3D, much, much, much different. I have some items here for 3D. First thing I want to show you is Maya LT. link to it. I like using 3D, but understand that 3D takes much, much more time because it's everything we just did in 2D and then much more. So MyLT is a tool that up until about last week, you had to pay for all up front. It'd be about $1,400. Now what they do is you can pay about $40 or $50 a year, which sounds like a lot, but if you're going to make money off the software and these tools, it's well worth it. And what this allows you to do is 3D model. So let's watch this video together. So go to that link I just sent to you from Maya LT. And Maya is made by a company called Autodesk. And we're going to watch this overview video. So right in the middle, it's going to say watch video. And we're going to watch this together. I'm going to wait a minute for you to get there too. So I'll give you a minute to finish the video. All right, video's finished. Okay. So, like I said before, 3D is great. I love doing 3D, but it is a lot of work. So you saw everything that had to go through there, right? So take everything we already did in Photoshop and 2D and add all that on top of it. Actually, I used to do 3D quite a bit, so let me show you something. When I first started making games, I was using the Unreal Engine. Now they have Unreal 4. I was using Unreal 3. I also wrote a book on this, so shoot me a message, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of the book through as a PDF. So you go here to Unreal Engine, and let's look at something like Mega Man 2 Remake. Send you a link. Just a second. My internet's being kind of slow here. Come on, website. It wants to go. It's thinking about it. Here we go. So here's work that I was doing a couple years ago. We all know Mega Man, right? So what I wanted to do was take Mega Man, who was previously a 2D character, right? And I wanted to make him 3D. So I'd start to animate this character, have him run, and I was using Maya here. Actually, this is 3ds Max, very similar tool made by the same company. And actually started to build all this. So, if I go over here to Development Diary, I'll show you what this process was like. So here I am in the Unreal Engine, and I'm showing you how I created all these models inside of a tool like 3ds Max or Maya, dropped it into Unreal, and then I textured this. So I grabbed these textures online, I painted them, I started to model this little guy here. And you can see, here is the image that I'm using for all of those backgrounds. So all of these, okay, are coming from one sheet. And this is what it looks like. So what I did was, I'm going to close this. So what I did was, I took an image, right, it's a perfect square. I broke them into four parts, and now I can take different parts of this image and apply it to the 3D model that I made. So I made all of this in Photoshop. I basically took an image of something I found in New York, dropped it into Photoshop. So like this, for example, this rust thing was some rust that I found somewhere in Manhattan when I was living there. I dropped it into Photoshop, and then I'd start to paint it and add some darkness here and some bumps and things. So I'll go back a little bit more. And let me show you one other thing. Actually, I have a video to show you. We can go here and take a look at this video. And I was just starting off. I had no idea what I was doing. I was in the same spot as you. I just started playing with these tools more and more and more, and kind of tinkering with it to get a feel for the thing. So watch this video real quick. It's about a minute long. So, a very simple example of what you could do with some of these tools, right? I had access to the same software you had, and I was in the same spot as you. I'd never worked on anything before, so that's why I started to put this together as a way to learn. So, learn a little bit about Maya. I want you to understand how we can paint these 3D models now. So, we were able to use Photoshop, create 2D textures, and maybe we work with an artist who can do something in 3D, but now we need to paint that 3D. So what happens is you saw in that video, the artist would start to tear open that 3D model and lay it flat. And that's how artists paint things. So I'm going to show you a video about this. It's called UV painting. First, we need to understand how someone unwraps something. So here we go. This is also from Autodesk. About 5 minutes long. Let's watch this because you're going to understand much, much more about 3D right here. So the link is in the chat. This is called UV unwrapping. And UV is the means we're going to take a 3D model and cut it so that it's now going to lie flat. So let's watch this together right now. We're not actually going to watch the next video, but I'll wait for you to finish that one up. And let me know when it's finished up for you. Whoa, I haven't finished buffering. That's weird. Yeah, it should take only a couple of seconds. Okay, so you got to see a bit about UV unwrapping. So give an idea of how long of a process that is. What often happens with larger game development studios is they'll have 3D artists, and some people's sole job is to do UV unwrapping. So someone will make a model of something, pass on to somebody else who will then unwrap it, who then passes it on to somebody else to paint it in Photoshop. There's other jobs such as an animator, which we saw before. There's a rigger. A rigger means to create the bones inside of a character. So this way you can have fingers and hands and phalanges. That's called a rigger. And then the final part, which would be an animator, they're the person who takes the actual animations and creates them. So see, there's quite a bit to this, right? There's another video I want us to watch, though. This is about UV painting, so that's the unwrapping. But let's see what happens when we actually have to go paint these things. So, one last video for today, I promise. So let's see how we create models in which tool, right, Maya? We got to see how we unwrap these models. And now we're going to see in 5 minutes how we paint these models inside of Photoshop. So head over to this link. Okay, when you're done with that video, let me know. Okay. Okay, perfect. So now you have to better understand the process of, again, unwrapping things, but also now how to paint them. So you see, 3D is quite a bit of work. There is something else that I want to show you, though. It's a 3D tool that's free for students, I believe. It's called Crazy Bump, and I started using it a few years ago. I bought the professional license for $100, so I'll show you what this looks like. This is something called Crazy Bump. So I'm going to show you this brief video here, but I think I still have Crazy Bump actually installed in this machine, so let me see. Waiting for Crazy Bump to start up. So now what Crazy Bump will do is create, we'll say, 3D textures. Or not textures. It'll create what's called bump mapping on top of my 2D texture. So what a bump map does is it affects the way that an image is displayed based on the light that is hitting it. So you've seen this video on the Crazy Bump site, how it actually works. So often what I'll do is I will take an image, maybe something I got in Photoshop. I will drop it into Crazy Bump. So I'll take that PNG and I can create all these other maps. So when you're actually looking at a 3D object in a game, an engine like Unity or Unreal, it's often much, much more than just one map. So for example, that Photoshop image, that's called a diffuse map or a texture map. And that's just the color. But what about the texture, right? Is this map going to have some sort of light on it, right? Some sort of reflection? If so, how reflective is it? Is it dull? Is it bright and shiny like metal? Or maybe it's nice and smooth, right? Like a young baby's skin. Or perhaps it's very rough, right? So what these maps do is I can drop an image in there and I can adjust some sliders and affect how this entire thing looks. So I'm going to show you a Crazy Bump. Here it is. I bought it a few years ago. So I can click on an image to begin and I'll say open, we'll say a photograph from a file. So let's look for something like desktop. And I thought I had my Xbox picture in here. Here we go. Xbox open. I have no idea how this is going to turn out because it's a picture of an Xbox. Here we go. So I have two different images to kind of work with here, right? The one on the left appears like the Xbox is kind of bumping out at me, where the one on the right kind of looks like the Xbox is being pushed in. You go either way. In this case, maybe I'll make it so it looks like my Xbox is going to get pushed in. Let's try this out. And here we go. It creates what's called a normal map for me. This normal map is all those bumps that you see. So I can do things like sharpen. I can see the edges suddenly getting really, really sharp around the gamepad and everything else. Maybe I'll go to shape recognition, which means I want to really follow the edges of the shape perfectly. So down a little bit, and there we go. Not as sharp as it was before. I go to medium detail. Maybe I can bump this down a little bit. Go to fine, and I'll make some fine grain improvements. Okay, maybe very large detail, let's see what happens. Not much of a change, and very, very large detail. Okay, so I have a new bump, it looks pretty nice. Now I have something called displacement, a similar map. So let's go here, let's enhance detail. Looks much cleaner. Maybe soften the edges a little bit, nah, too much. Actually like that. I'll go to occlusion. Occlusion is how shadows appear beneath things. So on this right-hand edge here, right, it looks like the light is kind of coming from the top left side of this image. So occluding, or a shadow occlusion, means I'm going to make the back edges of everything, so this gamepad, a little bit darker and finer. So let's make it a little finer. Maybe drop the enhancement team. Oh, too much. Let's go up. That looks good to me. Spec. So spec is, how does light reflect off of this image? Again, I go down here. I'm just kind of winging it on these, just so you know. I'm kind of doing the best that I can. I don't really know how this is going to look in the end. So I can do something like texture influence. Yeah, actually I like that. And I can even see like the rough grain of the gamepad there. Maybe lower the brightness. Nope, not enough. Perfect. Maybe I can add a little bit of noise here. Nice. And diffuse, which is that color that we covered before. Maybe I want to have some 3D crevices in here. I like it. Base and 3D highlights. Ooh, now it's starting to really shine in spots, right? Like up here. And how about color correction? Not that much of a change. So when I'm done, I can hit save right here. I'm going to say, you know what? Save all textures. On my desktop, I'm going to have a folder. I'll call this folder Xbox. Save it in there. And in a moment, I'm going to go back here. Is what my Xbox looks like now, if it was in the shape of a ball. And I can adjust it and rotate it. I'm going to change this. Instead of ball, let's do something like a box. Not bad, right? You can see how light kind of shines off of all of this. Pretty neat, because I have a very detailed 3D looking scene for my Xbox now. You may be able to download Crazy Bump right now, too. So see if you can download that. I don't think you need a license for the student or trial version. Maybe I'll make this a roller. What does this look like? Ah, it's almost like it's a steamroller, right? It looks like I kind of ran over the Xbox to my living room, and this is the imprint that left on my machine. So that is what Crazy Bump does. It's a very cool tool. I use this for making 3D models and textures all of the time. So I'm not going to save this Xbox. Let's look at where it's actually saved. So on a desktop, look at the Xbox folder. And here we go. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, I have 5 different parts of this Xbox right here. Each one is a different map. So when I actually go back to use something like Unity or Unreal, I can take these, or even Maya, I can take these and I can apply each one of these onto my 3D model. Are you able to download Crazy Bump? Okay. So why don't you download it? Uh-oh, someone says they can't. I do not know why. This Crazy Bump for Windows. I'll try downloading that and have a blast with it for a few minutes. Okay? If you have any questions, I will be right here to answer them for you. So what do you think? Pretty neat tool or what? Yeah, right? That's what I said when I was using it all the time also. Yeah, and I didn't want to just be showing you videos today and me playing with all the tools. That's why I wanted to give you an opportunity to have fun with it too. Also, this way I think people tend to remember things a bit more when they get to have some hands-on time with it. Okay, about 2 more minutes, and then we'll get started. Okay, 1 more minute. So, had a few minutes to tinker around with Crazy Bump. Hopefully you enjoyed it. So, last thing I want to do before we start to get out of here today. Let me see. What did I have for you? Covered a lot. We did Shoebox, Maya LT. Okay. Another tool. Blender. Probably wouldn't download Blender on those machines because it might be a little large, but Blender is free for any purpose. So you can use it for commercial licenses, you can use it for your student games, whatever it is you want. Blender is very, very similar to Maya LT in that it's a 3D piece of 3D modeling software. I know a lot of people use this. I was not crazy about it because you'll often see that people will take Maya or Max and use that in a professional environment. If you go to work at a game studio and not so much Blender. Still, Blender's good to learn because at least this way you'll understand the concepts like rigging, animating, sculpting, and how to model things in 3D. But overall, it's great for starters, and it's completely free. So you can download it, have an absolute blast with it, and it's called Blender. Oh, you do have Blender on there. Perfect. So it's been a while since I've actually looked at this. Maybe they have a short video? Maybe they have a little tool. Let's see if they have like a minute long video. Okay, sure. We'll watch this one. Cycles rendering. We'll only watch about 2 minutes of this, but I want you to see what you can do in Blender as well. That's about a minute long. Perfect. When you're done with that, let me know. Okay, so now I'm going over Blender, get a quick overview of what that is. Again, all these modeling tools, Maya, Max, Blender, they'll all export to the same formats. You might see things like .obj or .fbx. That's just a file format that they're going to be exported as. That's going to include everything from the 3D model to the textures to the animations and the rigging itself. So when you go actually bring them into your game engine, you can have a blast. I think the last thing I want to do before we get out of here is look at something like, let's see if I can extract some tiles in Shoebox. So Shoebox, again, I was showing you this a little bit before, it's completely free, and it works with anything and everything, Cocos, Prime 31, Unity, HTML5, Unreal Engine, okay? So let me look for Shoebox on my machine. Pop up in just a minute. Now from here, inside of Shoebox, still with me? Yes? Perfect. So inside of Shoebox, I can take something like, let's see if we can extract some sprites. So it's saying, hey, I need to drop an image on me. So I'm going to just take that sprite sheet that I had on my desktop before. I'm going to drop it into here. Let's see what happens if I go to read sprites. I need to drag two files. Whoops, not what I wanted. So instead we'll go to extract sprites. And here we go. This is exactly what I was looking for. So I had previously one image, and now look, I have a number of images here. In fact, it's broken up into several and told me what they are. So here's image one. It's hard to see where two is. There's another image here. 13, 14, 11, 10, 9, 7. So it's basically found the edges of all of these for me. I can make some changes. So I can go to settings. Here's the settings. I can say, yeah, I'm going to leave it the default template, right? I can leave it at the naming style. I go advanced. And advanced really is just saying how large do I want these things to be and how would I want them to be split up. Really, it's more for programmers who are going to be reading this information with their own tools. But for now, I'm just going to hit apply. And I will say save. So it saved this text to a clipboard. And now let's see. Let me see if I can open up something like Photoshop. Oops. Hard for you folks to see. I'm going to create a folder on my desktop. So I'll call this folder sprites. Because what this did was it actually saved all those images to my desktop. I'm going to drag them into this folder so you can see. There's a bunch. Here's a few more. And here's the sheet itself. So now, look at this. What do we have here? Well, before, I had my entire sheet, right? Sheet 14. Here's what it looked like. But now it broke up into small pieces. So now, right, here's slice 2. It broke up that treasure chest for me. It broke up a rock for me. Broke up. See, you can't really find the dividing line between these two. So instead, what I'll do is I'll take these two. I'll go into Photoshop. I'll cut them right down the middle over here. And now I will have two fresh objects to work with. So this did a lot here. This did a lot of the work for me, obviously, right? It'd be some work for me to sit there and have to outline all of this and cut it out myself. This tool. And some of the objects, right, kind of has them together. See, like this is clearly two separate walls, but it looks like the pixels were kind of touching here, right? So it couldn't find the transparency between them. So it thinks that this is one image, but we know that it's not. So again, I could take this in Photoshop, I would outline my image, and I would cut it right along this fine line. And now I have two different walls to work with. So that's just part of what this tool can do. Again, I can do the same thing. I can create, I can drop a Photoshop document in there, right? That PSD file. I can drag it into here, and it'll create new images for each one of those layers for me. I have an animation, right? So I can go download an animation and drop it right into there. So let me look on OpenGameArt real quick. Let's go back here to OpenGameArt. Let's see if we can find, so go to Browse. Let's go to 2D Art. And maybe we can find some kind of animation. So 2D, nah, not quite what I'm looking for, not yet. Actually, that's close. Book animation. Perfect. Here's a book, right? Opening and closing. And what I can do is click on this book. Very nice. I see it's kind of just animating this entire book for me. So I'm going to save this. Desktop, book one. And now I can take this and I can create a frame sheet from it. And look what it did. It just dropped in that picture. And see, it has an image for each one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So put them all nice and laid out for me. Save. And if I go back to this book, oops, here it is actually. I save it to my desktop, and here it is all laid out. So if I was going to put this inside of something like Unity, I could just drop it into my Unity player, and it'd be good to go. So Spryder has quite a bit going on here. Actually, I just created a sheet there. What I really want to do is create animation frames. Let me see if I can drop this in here. Yep, I can adjust the sequence. And now let me try one more thing. See, with the frame sheet, you see it's taking all this blue space right here as transparency and just getting rid of it, saying, hey, you don't need it anymore. We're going to save some space for it. So that is Shoebox. So that's really all I've got to show you today. We did quite a bit with 2D art, quite a bit with 3D art. I showed you how to find a number of free resources, right? Open Game Art. Oh, one last thing. Turbo Squid. I got Turbo Squid all the time. Turbo Squid has free and premium models, so maybe I want to download something like a cat, right? There's all kinds of cats. There's $800 cats, there's a $29 cat, there's a $35 one. You can see all these different animals that people have, okay? And this will come modeled, textured, right? It looks like, you know, like it's got fluffy hair. Pretty crazy. $300, which sounds like a lot, but you have to think about how much time went into this, right? Someone probably spent a good maybe 24 hours, if not more, making this. So divide that 24 hours, so 300 divided by 24, right? They're really working for pretty cheap here, to tell you the truth. Look for a question in here. Fluffy, yeah, exactly. And you can see it, it gives you more information. So it'll say on the right-hand side here, okay, rigged, nope, so the bones have not been put in. It is not animated. It is UV mapped, right? So I mean someone actually took the time to divide this thing up and painted. So now if you want to, you can take this thing apart. It tells you that it already has textures and materials. So texture, again, is that image in Photoshop. And the materials are what we were creating earlier, right? The materials were the specular map, the diffuse, the bump, all those different things that we made inside of Crazy Bump. So there's some premium ones, but also I've got a Turbo Squid. I could say search for dinosaur. And I can filter up top here. So maybe I want price. You can go to zero minimum, zero maximum, reply. And there we go. We got some free dinos. There you go. And it says materials, yep. Textures, yep. Rigged. So it's boned, right? Someone put the bones in there. They just have not animated this. So you could download this, create a Turbo Squid account. You could download this little, looks like a Velociraptor. Yeah, Velociraptor meets a T-Rex, I guess. Download this Velociraptor, and you can drop it into something like Blender. So there you go. You have something that's completely free. Show you Blender. Free 3D modeling tool. You can use Crazy Bump. It's free as a student. You have Photoshop, which is now free. And now you have a way to get free 3D models. So have a blast with all of this. So again, in closing, we did quite a bit today, right? We did, look at my chart here, Photoshop CS2. Paint.net, I really didn't go over because I actually prefer Photoshop CS2. Went over a little bit of Shoebox. That was that tool that can create sprites. Went over Maya LT, 3D modeling tool, as well as Blender, which allows you to freely create 3D models. We talked about UV unwrapping, right, the process of cutting open this 3D model, and then the next step is painting. Showed you how to create normal maps and all those neat looking materials in Crazy Bump. And finally, I showed you Open Game Art, where you can get a lot of this art to use for some of your projects. So with that wrapped up, here's Turbo Squid. With that wrapped up, we got a few minutes for questions. Do you have any questions today?
So, can you get pre-made textures or like figures?
Can you free textures? Yes, you can. You can go to CG textures, Here's the link. Tons and tons and tons of them. So everything from concrete to bones to building to fire, whatever you want there. CG textures is fantastic. Sound good? Anybody else? I know it's a bit overwhelming. We covered quite a bit today. All right, perfect. Well, then, next time we meet is on Thursday. I'll be going over web development. CSS, it's a lot to cover in 2.5 hours. So instead, I'll cover a little bit of JavaScript, CSS, HTML, and really, as a whole, how to create a website and a web application. If you can, see if you can get signed up for DreamSpark before this, or if you can get take advantage of Azure. Perhaps Anthony could help you with that. I don't know what they offer for high school students in particular. But that'll get you going with web development. So now we already covered art, we covered music, and on Thursday we're going to be covering web dev. Thank you, thank you. So give me kudos to Anthony. When he comes back, let him know that you enjoyed it and that you learned quite a bit from this today, all right? And the next time I will see you is on Thursday. Thank you.